Let the Bible Speak.
We've got, how did we put it? The great Scott Mitchell. And the also great Louis Taylor. And they'll be kicking off a show here momentarily. Okay, well, looks like we're go, gentlemen. Scott, Louis, it's your show.
Hi, hey, welcome everybody. It's been a while, especially in this 2 o'clock time throws me off. Supposed to be 9. we have decided to talk about doing the next right thing, as Louis recommended. Under the circumstances, we're all living at a time when we really aren't sure what the next right thing is all the time. Especially when it comes to worshiping God and how to do that, and doing our very best to serve Him with what we do. And so, Louis, I want to say Louis Taylor's on here with me. He's been on before, and he knows what he's doing, and we're glad to have him. And I'm going to – he had kind of recommended some verses, so I'm going to kind of throw it to him to get us started, and we'll start our discussion that way. And again, I noticed, too, the good thing is that if you're going to be on a show, you've got to have a little bit of a goatee band, type band, eye look. So that's good, Louis, that you got that. So, Louis, once you get us started, I know you can even talk about where you got the idea for the show if you don't think it will affect your manhood any, as far as the movie's concerned.
Well, I have an 8-year-old daughter, so I have a perfectly good excuse for watching the movie Frozen 2, and I think a lot of people are familiar with it. And that one song, that kind of standout song about doing the next right thing. Mm-hmm. And this girl in the show had suffered tremendous loss, and she was just at a very bleak point in her life, and she didn't know what to do next. She felt like giving up, but something inside of her said she needed to just to try to do the next right thing. And I think that's something, I know that's something we can all do at any given point in our life. We hit points, we hit crossroads, we hit crises in our life, and we're not sure what to do, where to turn, how to act, what to think. But we can always just try to focus on doing something good. Yeah. Jesus went about doing good, the scripture tells us. That he was noted, of course, for more astounding things than that. But you know, not much better can be said about anybody, that they just go around doing good things. And, of course, as children of the King, we're called to do that. So this would not be specifically relegated to our time and situation that we find ourselves in with particular virus that we're dealing with in our nation and the world, but it is appropriate as we find ourselves limited in the things that we do. We can't do all of the things that we normally do and like to do, but we can always do what's right. So I was thinking maybe start at Galatians chapter 6. In verses 7 through 10, and the Apostle Paul addresses that subject very pointedly and clearly about always trying to do right. You know, if you want to read that, you want me to read that?
You want 7 through 10?
Yes.
Do I still sound like I'm underwater? Would it be better for you to read it?
You do sound like you're underwater. You might be Aquaman.
It would be more clear.
Aquaman.
Anyway, Louis, if it'd be better, more clear for you to read it, once you do that, I'll try to figure out my sound on this end as we proceed.
Okay. Galatians 6, starting in verse 7, says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." Just at any time, any point, any circumstance, any situation, we're to be focused on doing good, doing right, doing the right thing to all people, and especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. And, you know, obviously you have to look for opportunities to do that, and they're not as obvious in our current situation as they might be at other times, but we can still do good things for people and for the cause of Christ, for the kingdom at large.
You were looking at Galatians, and as I was flipping through, I had some notes on Galatians 5, and, you know, the fruits of the Spirit there kind of apply here, and that, you know, the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against us there is no law. We can always find something good to do. I know there's a lady I'm studying with, and she's using this time. She asked me for more material, and so I get two or three texts from her every day of her saying, "Hey, Scott, in Isaiah 27, whatever, what does this mean?" Or she's working through a workbook on her own because she's got time to do it. She's having a good time, and just spending time with family and doing those kind of studies. I've done several studies on Zoom and Facebook, things like that, just to try to keep people involved and stay involved myself. I think that's for us Christians. Being alone is not a good thing. We don't want to isolate ourselves and not be in contact with other Christians. We've got to make sure we're doing that and not lose those connections and find some way to do that where we can be productive in that regard.
And, you know, we've got, hopefully we have an audience. We could throw that out to the people who are following. Give us some thoughts, some examples, some input on how we might be able to, practically speaking, do good things and right things for other people in a time such as this. Would be a good opportunity, a good venue, platform to throw that out there.
You mean other than making masks and donating blood, things like that?
Yeah, those are some things, but surely there are others. Surely there are other things.
I think there would be. I think you had, it was a Titus 2, or did I write that one down? No, you had Genesis 40, 6 through 8, as an example, right?
Maybe yeah, just, go ahead.
I'm going to go back and look at that verse to see why I wrote it down.
Yeah, I have an example. I would just thought maybe we could see what this looks like.
Yeah.
In practical terms and in a situation where someone is not in the greatest set of circumstances. You have Joseph here who's been thrown into prison, Potiphar's his own prison on his property, it seems the case was. And Joseph for doing no wrong of his own, for being just an upstanding and a very astute manager of Potiphar's household. He was wrongly accused by Potiphar's wife. He was thrown into prison. And while he was in prison, there were also some gentlemen there, the cupbearer to the king and the baker to the king, who were thrown in prison. Doesn't say what their infractions were, but they had some dreams the night before that disturbed them greatly. And when Joseph went to see them the next day to tend to their needs, he had been placed in charge of them. He saw the look of just dejection on their face, and the Bible says that they look sad forlorn looking. And he wanted to do something about that. It says when Joseph first saw them in the morning and observed them, behold, they were dejected. And he asked Pharaoh's officials who were with him in confinement in his master's house, "What are your faces so sad? Why are your faces so sad today?" Then they said to him, "We have had a dream, and there is no one to interpret it." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell it to me, please." So they proceeded to tell him the dreams. Mm-hmm. And of course, God had favored Joseph greatly and given him the ability to tell them what those dreams meant. But, he did what he could in that situation. And what prompted him to do it was he saw that these guys were in a bad way. He knew that they were very upset. They were unhappy. They were sad. And a lot of times, it's just that simple. We see someone sad. Things are not going well for them in their life. We could do what we can just to lift them up. And Joseph did what he had the power to do at this time. Obviously, I'm not encouraging anyone to go out and try to interpret people's dreams for them. That's a kind of dicey business there. I wouldn't recommend that, but we could try to lift people's spirits in ways that we have some ability and opportunity to do that.
Yeah, it's interesting. Talking about doing, I think about Paul and his situations he was in. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 13, it says, "As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. So how did the whole Praetorian Guard, is that, or some of its palace guard, how did they find out? Was Paul chained to every one of them at one time or other? Probably not. But because, and I don't think, he was probably under some kind of quarantine, couldn't move as much as he wanted to, in that regard. But he was still teaching, and he was still showing those people his life in Christ, and they knew. Everybody that was associated with that particular organization knew about Jesus and why Paul was there. He just did what he could where he was. And that's where, you know, 1 Corinthians 11 and also over in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says, imitate me. If you want to know what being a Christian looks like, imitate me. I'm going to get to 1 Corinthians real quick, but I don't want anybody to make sure whatever verses we say, you double check and make sure that we're speaking where the Bible speaks as we're supposed to be. 1 Corinthians 11:1 just says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. And over in 1 Corinthians 4, same, he says the same thing. But let's see. Oh, where did it go? 14, 15. Oh, in verse 6, and he says, I urge you then be imitators of me. That is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ. So we can find ways to be like Paul and teach and be good examples to people. So, Louie, what are you doing right now, like with your family or with your congregation or with people you're studying with? How are you staying in contact? What are you doing to do some of those things?
Well, one of the things I do is my sister recently was converted, baptized her into Christ, and, you know, she's very vulnerable person right now. We're not assembling together. So we have these various video lessons like we're doing right now. The congregation there at Taylorsville Road produces them, the preacher and some other folks around town who are doing that. And we'll call her and we'll watch one of those videos. She'll obviously listen to it through the phone and we'll talk about that afterwards. And, it's just a way to stimulate spiritual growth, to study the word, to do it in snippets where it's not overwhelming, to find words of encouragement, you know, for her and for us, for our family, as we sit around the table and do that every night. And, you know, that's just one way to do that, to help other people. Obviously, these videos that people are employing right now, serving a great service. There's just not a whole lot you can do to get out. No. To help folks, you know, so staying home and being safe and listening to the word and helping share the word. That's just one thing that I'm doing right now.
That's good. What about with your family? What kind of things are you doing? I got them because, you know, we of course, we play a lot. My wife's a big game player, but we play a lot of games. We sit and I talk about a lot of spiritual things. You know, as the girls come home from college, have lots of things on their minds and things like that. How do you include that in, like, in your day? You said, you know, without it being like overwhelming, and so because we're kind of stuck. How do you balance? I guess maybe reading for entertainment and reading for study, or watching a movie, or, you know, those kind of things.
Well, you know, it's you know, it's a challenge to get the right balance. But one thing we're trying to do right now just to make sure we're staying active. And not sedentary. The weather has allowed it. We've been spending time outside, working in the yard, enjoying nature. It's, you know, it's a beautiful time of the year if your allergies can withstand all that. And then, you know, Teresa's keeping Jillian active with cooking in the kitchen. And we are watching movies together at night. And we try to start our morning with some worship. Reading some scriptures, singing some songs. Well, it's not always in the morning, but as we get our day started, sometimes it's the early afternoon. And then, you know, in the evening, we like to before we wrap things up, to do the same thing. So you don't have to be in the congregational setting to worship God. Of course, that's commanded, and we should do that when it is right and appropriate to do that. But we can worship God. You can sing praises to him. You can study his word. You can pray anytime in any place. And we should definitely try to incorporate that into our daily routines.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing. I appreciate that. I guess, you know, we're all trying to figure out what are the right things to do, how is the best way to handle these situations. But even like you said, outside of this disease situation, we still every day we're taking steps, and it's what we're going to do next, the next best thing. Is it the next right thing to do? I told you, and when we had a discussion with somebody, said, "Well, I'm just gonna take my kids and do this or that." And I'm like, "No, would that really be the next best thing to do?" And using that phrase has really helped me kind of figure out my next step and what, you know, even with studying with people or even at work and dealing with people, is what is the next best thing, the next right thing to do? And I think it's important for us to keep that in front of our, and kind of keep in the forefront of our mind to help us make better decisions about what we do at their time.
Yeah, and you know, you talked about Paul and I read about Joseph, and both of these men were confined at that time. They didn't have a lot of mobility and freedom of movement, at least not like they would want to have. They had some leeway because they were favored people by the Lord and by the people who were administering over them. But they took advantage of their opportunities that they had.
That's
what we're trying to do. And, you know, we can still help people over the phone, over the internet. You know, there are things we can do for our neighbors, the actually physical help that doesn't require us to be in too close in proximity to them. You know, we can help them. I would, you know, whether it be cutting grass or trimming trees, that's kind of the things we've been getting into. We've been doing some yard work. You can help folks, especially those folks who are unable to help themselves with those kind of things.
Yeah. Well, we've done a lot. Of course, we've got a mowing business. And so we've been up and doing, you know, we got 1 yard to 6 acres. We get up there, there's nobody within half a mile of us. We can still get out and do stuff. Not endanger anybody in what we're doing. So we've been blessed in that regard to have that opportunity.
Well, you can make things available to people who are in need of something. You know, there are people who are, you know, running short of certain supplies. I mean, no, their necessities. I don't see a problem with helping someone with their necessities
at all.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't think we want to get into a lot of extraneous things that are not necessary. They're desired, but not necessary. I mean, we can go too far with that, but
yeah,
you know, we kind of make ourselves available to other people in times of need, even if we make ourselves a bit, you know, extend ourselves a little bit in the process.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Scott, I interrupted you. The parable of the Good Samaritan, the Samaritan exposed himself to some danger in the process. And I don't recommend anyone being careless about that and frivolous about that. But when someone's actually in need, their physical needs.
So, Theron, what kind of things are you all doing to kind of stay active and stay involved?
Yeah, we're kind of in a, I will call a unique, but a very blessed situation in that the work I do has been and continues to be at home. In fact, my work has actually only increased. I'm kind of under the gun. Ironically, I was scheduled to start going into the office with a new team of folks. And what's happened is because of the current situation, we're going to start the team remote. So I was actually supposed to start going into the office, and that's changed. So that's kind of different. And Becky works at Sam's Club here in Louisville. And so she's very busy. She's actually working more shifts now, not that she really wants to, but they've had some older folks that they've basically sent home out of concern for their health. And so she's actually picking up additional shifts. So we're actually busier than we were before, rather than just being home looking for something to fill the time with. Now, something I will share with you guys, it's a little different in Kentucky than it is in Indiana. And just to clarify, Louis and I are on the, I guess it's not the sunny side, so it's the cloudy side of the Ohio. And then, and Scott's in Indiana. So this is one of those cases where what state you're in is really kind of making a difference on what the governors and law enforcement is doing. And right now, the governor of Kentucky, he essentially wants everybody to stay at home. But he hasn't mandated it yet, right? So we're not technically under a stay at home, but that's his desire, which is a little tricky for us as Christians, because we have to go, well, wait a minute. If it's not mandated, what are we supposed to do? And it makes the question of what's the responsible thing as a Christian to do a more problematic. And so one of the things I did is I went in, like a lot of people have, I got a card from the federal government saying these are our guidelines. And I printed out the governor's own statement about what you should and should not be doing right now. And if you watch his daily update, it's pretty he's adamant about what he really wants people to do. And some people think he realizes we really need to shelter at home, but he's hesitant to actually enforce that, because if we can social distance without him mandating it, it can still work. And I appreciate that he's trying to do that. And so what I did is I pulled up some scriptures, I printed them out, and then I took the guidance from both the state and federal government, and I sat down with my family last night. And, you know, we have four Christians in our house. And so their obedience is to the Lord. To me, secondarily as the father, but ultimately all of our obedience is to the Lord. And I didn't try to push anything. I said, this is what the scripture says about obeying authority. And y'all know what it says, right? I can bring it up, but y'all know what it says. And I said, this is what the government's saying. I'm not going to say it, but what do you think where does this leave us? And I think we all realize that, yeah, we're not supposed to be having things like play dates. That's expressly something the governor is saying, don't do that. And the reason you're doing it is for safety reasons, right? We're trying, and he said in particular for Kentucky, the next 2 to 3 weeks is important to curb the spread. If we can flatten the curve in the next 2 to 3 weeks, that'll make a big difference. So there's a specific emphasis right now on social distancing. But it is something very difficult to wrestle with, right? Because you're like, well, what am I supposed to do? I feel like I should be with other Christians, but is that the right thing to do? Is it really illegal? Is it just recommended? It's tough, right? I think in Indiana it might be a little bit more clear, because you've had very distinct direction on, no, you need to be staying at home. But there's always exceptions for that, right? I mean, if you're a nurse or a doctor, you gotta go care for patients. So there's always exceptions to that dictate. But yeah, it's been tough. But we did that last night, and then we played a board game, which we haven't done as a family in a long time, which I really enjoyed immensely, actually. So, but that was fun.
What'd you play?
Splendor.
Oh, you didn't play Pandemic?
No, It's funny. It's sitting on the table, and we plan on playing it, but nobody's played it for years. I've never played it, and we just figured we needed something we at least kind of knew the rules to, and we can play really quick, because we started about 9:30.
So we do
plan on playing. Literally, we do plan on playing Pandemic, because it just seems like the right thing to do right now. So
that was kind of a joke, but still, we.
Oh no! You hit the nail on the head. We plan on playing Pandemic, because you know what else you're going to play during a pandemic? But Pandemic the game, right? There's Pandemic the reality, and then there's Pandemic the game. I'd rather play the game personally. You know, the reality is not so much fun. So,
yeah, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. You know, there aren't a lot of Bible verses to help us in the situation we're in, outside of what Louis's talking about, which is finding the next best thing, which is the next right thing I can do. And there are a lot of those. We can't sit at home and twiddle our thumbs. We got to look for things that we can do to help people. And you know, even being out on the porch and waving at people and letting them know, you know what, we're not alone in all this, is helpful to people. Don't have to get close to them, but we can at least acknowledge their existence. And let them know that we're concerned. And so in your situation, you know, where you live, there are lots and lots of people. You know, I go out in my backyard and be back in the back of our property, even though we all just have an acre, there's nothing back there. I can not be near anybody. You really don't even have that capability necessarily. So, anyway.
You can always pray for people at any place, at any time. We don't avail ourselves of that enough. I noticed one lady posted on Facebook yesterday that is actually a Christian friend of mine from my congregation who posted she's not seeing nearly enough prayer meetings, kind of like we're having right now. We'll have Bible studies together and a teleconference that way and broadcast it that right way, but we don't see people focused on praying. And I think she's right. We need to do that more. We need to make that more visible. And of course, when we're home alone or with our families, we can always gather together and solemnly pray to the Lord to help others who are struggling with these situations. People who might actually have the disease, people who are having a hard time dealing with it. So
I hadn't thought about that aspect because I asked the girls because they learned about prayer journals, some of their camps. I had to ask them about how to set up a prayer journal so I can start writing things out and doing things in an organized way that way. But I hadn't really thought about this public format for prayers. I'm glad you said that. That's really interesting. And I think we all need to become more cognizant of that. I appreciate
that. And you know, you don't have to broadcast your prayer, and I don't want to make it sound like you have to do it in a public way, but it's good to let people know that, you know, we're prayerful people. We are about, we're as much about prayer as we are about the word, and we understand the power that's involved in that. So I think it is good though, to let it be known that we can and should do this and that it is being done.
Yeah, that's excellent. Very good. What about, you know, we've been talking a lot about this, loving God, loving your neighbors, all these discussions about how to worship, not to worship, how to come together or not. A lot of discussion about, is there a separation between loving God and loving our fellow man? And how do we mesh that? If we decide not to worship, are we still loving God? If we not, you know, that, because worship is obviously a good thing to do, and it should always be the next right thing. But right now, we don't really know what the right thing is. Do you think, as far as that aspect, is it should it be difficult for us because we can't make you go to worship? I don't. Aaron, you all aren't worshiping right now, are you? Because of the
oh no, the disease? No. We've been canceled for 2 or 3 weeks now.
Yeah, and so does that mean we're not loving God because we aren't fulfilling that commandment?
Well,
is that a thing? Can sometimes good things, try to do a good thing, can it become maybe that's something we shouldn't do, you know, kind of thing, just because it's a good thing? We have to debate those kind of things in our minds too about what the next best thing is to do.
Well, it's a dilemma because assembling together to worship God on the first day of the week, especially, is a command of God. But you know, those two great commandments, love the Lord your God with everything you got and love your neighbor as yourself. God is first. I'm going to say those are equally important. Jesus puts those two on a par, even though loving God first, that's the most important, and neighbor is self. I think we have to put our neighbor's best interests at heart if we're truly going to serve and worship God the way that we should. And if we're exposing them to danger, then we're not loving them like we should. I don't think God would be pleased with that. So that's kind of my take on that. Yeah. Is that we are? It's like do you love God more or do you love your wife and your child more? Well, if I'm loving God the way I'm supposed to, I'm going to love my wife and my daughter right. And if I'm loving my wife and daughter, if I'm putting them first, then I'm following God's dictates. You know, for me as a father and a husband, there's no contradiction. There's no conflict there.
Yeah. And that's the way I see it too. That it's really loving one doesn't make you not love the other. I mean, I think there's a balance in there we can find. It's trying to find the right thing and the best thing to do next. We've got to keep that in mind. We're not loving God because we do this thing or it's a good or people are getting, I think, out of balance. I mean, John Bingham likes to talk about balance a lot. I think we get out of balance in our thinking and on those things, and we can't let that good thing we need to do that we really maybe shouldn't do or can't do at this time hinder us from doing what we can do and make us feel bad. Find something we can do. It's like the kids are saying. The kids say, "Well, I'm bored. I don't have anything to do." Well, as soon as I say, "Well, won't you grab a rag and wipe the baseboards?" All of a sudden, they find something to do. We can find stuff to do if we want.
Yeah.
And, you know, so.
Good stuff. Good stuff to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're not stuck at home. I like home. All my stuff's here. I kind of like being here. So
yeah,
that's there. There's a big upside to it, even though I think we have a question coming from the audience. Is that right?
Actually, you have a question coming from Theron. Actually, a comment. And this might be a good opportunity to get this out, because I think, you know, we're here. We're communicating here. We're not at the weather's nice. We could be at a park, at least in the Kentucky side, as long as we social distance, we can be outside. And that's exactly what we plan on doing once we're done. My family and I, minus Becky, she's at work. We're going to go to a park, and we're going to get away from other people, and we're going to enjoy some good weather. So we can get out. But I'm a little bit concerned, because I've heard people talk about different generations where there were people who were gathering and worshiping, wanting to be obedient to God, be faithful to God's word, but then something came up and there was a split, right? And you see this on certain generations. They have this issue and boom, there's a split. It could be missionary societies. It could be a cappella singing. There's some issue that comes up and then people break into camps and they split. And I have in my lifetime, I haven't been in the North Church the whole time, but not in, this is the first time I've seen an issue that I think could have that kind of effect. That because people are so, because this is so important, right? This is, we're literally, how many times there's an issue in the church that is literally life or death? That the choices you make may or may not result in somebody's death. That is really tough, and it's important, and we inevitably will feel strongly about it. And our influence on our society right now is something that can be scrutinized. And as you know, there was a church in Kentucky that had a worship and somebody, a visitor, tested positive. Of course, that's not being played out fairly in the media, but all the same, you can see how it's being played out. So there's so much at play right now. In my lifetime, I've never seen an issue that had the opportunity to split churches and brethren like this particular issue has, because it's so important that we feel like we want to get it right, but we're struggling with it. There's no script for this.
No.
And I hope people, the reason I want to mention this is I hope people think about that reality of this is important, but keep in mind that as we're trying to do the right thing, we're all trying to do the right thing, this could really tear us apart, and Satan wants nothing more than that. So just something to keep in mind as we're working our way through all this is we need to make sure we don't consume ourselves in the process of trying to sort through what's the next right thing for us to do right now.
Yep. In that aspect, yes, that's a hard one, because I can see that happening too easily.
Yeah.
But on a lighter note, as far as what we can do,
a lighter note.
I'm glad you brought that up, but it's, you know, we've got to be busy about the Lord's work and doing the best we, you know, Tim Muddle always talks about do what you can, you know, and what we can do are some things, you know, we can pray, we can call people, we can send texts, we can get on Facebook, we can get on Zoom, there's Gary Fisher's doing a study today. I think it's from 10 o'clock until 5 o'clock, like you would do at a camper or a year-end study, where anybody can join any time during the day and stay as long as you want to get off. All those kind of things are available to us. Mm-hmm. We just can't let this situation get us down and get us discouraged.
We
make us feel lonely or anything like that. We've got to do what we can to stay in contact with people and with God to keep ourselves moving in the right direction, so, which is the point of this discussion, I think.
Yep.
Let me, you've been quiet for a while.
I've been listening. That's very good. Very good points to make there.
Yeah, they're not saying a lot. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Louis. You're good.
I was just going to say, you know, to your point, Theron, is I don't think anybody's taking this lightly. This is no matter which side, which camp you're in, We're all taking this very seriously. We're all doing exactly what we think is God wants us to do.
Exactly.
And we got to be careful. We got to be careful that we don't allow our emotions and our own thoughts to dictate that. We need to be able to go to Scripture and give justification for our stances. So, is there precedent in the Bible for, you know, for this kind of thing? It's kind of off the track a little bit, but a preacher posted something yesterday I thought was interesting, a principle where he talked about in Matthew 5:23 is, if you are presenting your offering at the table and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering. And the question is it more important to be worshiping or to be right with your brother? And he said, they're both important. But in this particular instance, it was more important to be right with your brother. Worship God.
Yeah.
And we do. I think there's precedent. If you look at that as a principle, we have to do right by our brethren if we're going to be worshiping God rightly. And if we're jeopardizing the health and the well-being of our brethren, are we really worshiping God the way that we should? It's something to think about.
I agree.
Let that settle in for a moment.
It's settling. You know, in 1 Thessalonians 5:15, it just, and we all know these verses, fine, it says, see that no one repays evil, anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. And if we're, you know, if we believe everyone is seeking to do the best they can, and we know they're sincerely doing the best they can, that has to be good enough for us. You know, with whatever we decide to do to try to reach out to people, or whether we meet or not, or we hopefully we can see that everybody is trying their very, very best to be pleasing to God, and we can't let it polarize us as God's people. Like Thurman said, you know, Satan's going to lock all the way to the bank if we do that. Mm-hmm. We just can't allow it. So, and who's the weaker brother in these situations? I don't think either one. I don't think we can even say that.
Right.
We're on the
same team, even if we're not exactly on the same page. Mm-hmm. We're not seeing things exactly eye to eye there. We are all trying to please our Lord. That's the bottom line in everything. And all that we do, we want to be pleasing to Him. That's why arguments are being made on both sides, if you will, because people want to make sure they're doing the right thing by God. It's one thing to do right things. The next right thing, we always want to make sure we're doing the right thing by God.
Yep. Which brings us to Colossians 3:23-24, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive and the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. And that's our goal. And all that we do is to serve Jesus. And whatever we can do, that's what we need to be worried about. And just loving everybody and be at peace with what people decide. Is really big right now. So
yes, and understand that these are tough decisions, and elders are making it their, you know, that's their duty to make tough judgment calls. Not always easy to make a call like they've had to make, and some have chosen one direction based on their circumstances, and others have chosen another path based on their particular circumstances. We be careful not to judge, not knowing the full story behind that.
Yep.
And state by state, as you brought out, Theron, to where one state may recommend it, another state may absolutely mandate it. So it's going to have a bearing on that.
Oh, great. You know, hey, I got to share this, guys. So Lou Sig quoted back, I think, Louie, you said this, and she gave it a thumbs up. Lou says, we are on the same team, even if we are not on the same page. Was that you, Louie, or was that Scott?
That was Louie.
It was Louie. That was a Louie. Yeah, Lou gives you a thumbs up. So good job, Lou.
Yeah. And so, guys, I have to ask this because I have to. As far as if it's government mandated that we don't travel, that we don't go, there are people who are drawing lines and, well, it really doesn't matter why the government says don't gather. We're going to gather anyway. since it's been brought up, what do we do about that situation where it's mandated there's the travel ban, you're not supposed to go, you're supposed to stay home unless you're working or whatever. How do we justify what we do or don't do based on what God says and based on what the government says?
I mean, is it an Acts 5 situation where, you know, the apostles were told, do not preach in the name of Jesus? And the apostles said, you know, we have to obey God rather than men. Is it one of those situations where we're being held under their thumb and commanded not to do the thing that God wants us to do? Or is it, you know, more of a Romans 13 situation where we're to obey the laws of the land? They're not being oppressive to us. They're a minister for good. I think they're trying to be a minister for good at this time. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to be rewarded for practicing that good.
Yeah.
So my view is this is not one of those situations where it's an oppressive climate where the government authorities are trying to repress Christianity, mm-hmm. trying to stop the spread of the word or doing God's will. This is an extraordinary situation. And I don't want to make this sound like situation ethics either, because it's not situation. Yeah. But it is it's an extraordinary situation that we're in right now. It's not ordinary at all. It's not typical. Your thoughts on that?
Well, Farron mentioned, I'll let Farron talk, but this I can, and I hope it doesn't, but I can feel polarizing forces mm-hmm. on both sides of this pulling, and these kind of judgmental comments going out about situations, and I have a concern about where this can go in a really, really quick hurry, and I really don't want to have to deal with it that way, because I don't think this warrants it. I don't think this is a salvation issue. I don't think it's something that needs to be debated in that way. I think each group being autonomous can decide what they need to do and be at peace with that. Mm-hmm. Because I promise you, elders are losing sleep over this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Ben, what do you have?
Yeah, you guys have covered it well, but when we were, you know, when I sat down with the scriptures last night, I spent the most time, you would guess it, in Romans 13. And mm-hmm. I think, and Lou, you made a great point, because there may well be a time in our lifetimes where we need to look at Acts 5 and say, no, sir, we will mm-hmm. obey God rather than men. And I find no way to justify this time as being that time. I tend to go with Romans 13. This is an except. Are there aspects of what we've been told to do I'm not comfortable with? Yeah, I don't think it was done in the way that should have been done. The first time the governor recommended, for example, I just kind of recommend that churches don't assemble this weekend. I kind of wrestled with that a little bit, partially because it was a recommendation. But as the situation's gone further on and things have started to ramp up, I've started to recognize, you know, I think there's been some wisdom in the approach. And you know what? I think I feel like I need to respect the authority of the governing bodies. And I tend to favor Romans 13 in this respect.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, I just kind of, I know people are wrestling with this. Mm-hmm. Trying to find the best approach. I know they are. And trying to decide what the next right thing is to do.
Exactly.
It's becoming emotional and hard, and it's wearing people out. Yeah. And we've got to be able to against that stuff. So, anyway.
Well, as was noted, we need to pray about it. So.
Yeah, definitely. Lots of prayer about that, mm-hmm. and wisdom and understanding and insight and whatever else you can think of that people may need at this time. Very good.
Oh, we lost Louis.
Somehow did he go away?
He's off the video feed. Somehow we lost him.
He has to be back.
Okay, he may be able to rejoin. I don't know.
Don't know either.
Maybe it's a solo show. Maybe it's just you, Scott. I'm doing the feed, so you got it. You're stuck with me.
Yeah, that's good. But anyway, hey, there's Jeremiah.
You'll love that.
I just got a text from Dell, so anyway, I got distracted there. I don't know. We've been on for 45 minutes, probably something like that.
About that, yeah.
Probably about time we had it. People got to get on with their lives, but
yep, we're gonna go for a walk. So,
yeah, I love everybody, and I want nothing but the best for everybody in all situations. And if I can be of help to anybody, let me know. We've got Evan set up a Bible study on Zoom with some kids from camp Tuesday night. We're gonna do and just do a. But if you all do need any, if anybody needs anything physically done, something moved or whatever, we don't have to. I don't have a problem taking care of those kind of needs for people. Like Louie said, let us know what you need. If you just need somebody to talk to, call one of us. We'll talk to you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I'm paying for a Zoom account so that we can specifically so we can do things like we're doing deacons meetings on Wednesdays. Trying to keep in touch.
Oh, cool.
I set it up and we could do our meetings this way. And if Zoom isn't the best option, we can try something else. But so far it's been pretty okay. By the way, I did get a text. I saw a text pop up from Louie. He said he completely lost internet connection. So that's the downside to the setup, right? Is that little wire decides to stop working or the cat chews on it. Well, there you go. You're done. But he did a great job. Thank you, Louie, for joining us. By the way, we do have a post. Let's see. This is from Aaron Stuckey, and he says, "All this is hopefully a short time. Leprosy was obvious, and the affected had to stay outside the camp. The virus is a type leprosy we can't see, but will be obvious in a short time. This is not forever, and we should be able to assemble in the near future." Okay. Yeah, just a heads up on that. So I am not an expert, and I'm not pretending to be, but I have been following this actually since it was first reported out of China. And unless something, and this is a case for prayer, okay, unless something really positive and surprising happens very soon, we're probably going to be in some form of social distancing for quite some time. Yeah. So this is probably not going to be over shortly. Just a heads up. Now, again, I'm not the expert. Do your own homework, but that's what it's looking like. So just a heads up there. Which is all the more reason for us to continue trying to reach out to people, trying to keep them engaged in any means, mechanism we can. So, hey, love you, Scott. It was good to at least see you through a camera.
Hey, yeah, buddy. Thanks for
virtual hug, there. Virtual hug. Oh, virtual hug. There you go.
Get to the park, man.
I'm sorry, what was the last part?
Get to the park, have some fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, actually.
Love you guys. Tell your family hi.
Okay, we'll do that. Yeah, all right, so we're going to punch out. Scott, you don't have to get off the video just yet. I'm going to go ahead and cut off the show. So, all right. And you have your closing. Remember, you have some standard. I've been trying to remember how you close this. You have ways you close this. You always say a couple things. Go ahead and say it. It's your job.
Well, it's been a while.
Yeah? You hope that. There you go.
Make sure in all that you do, make sure you let the Bible speak first. That's the most important thing.
Right.
And, trust God and trust that he's with us. And, he's going to be with us all the way through all this. And we can have faith in that.
Yeah. And then you always, don't you say something like, hope we've done a little bit of harm and no good or something like that?
Isn't that another sometimes one? I say that, yeah.
Okay.
It's what we hope to do. Maybe I need to become more routine to get back into the groove.
Yeah. Hey, where are you going to go? what else are you going to be doing? True.
Maybe that's why there's been an upsurge of things on. John Bingham's been on there a lot doing these little days.
He has, yeah. Yeah. He's still teaching, but he's doing it remote now. So
yeah. He's doing fine. So.
Yeah. He's got his own radio program, by the way. He's got graduated.
I know, isn't that exciting?
Yeah, he's actually on a really big radio station here in Louisville. So
yeah, I'm listening to that station quite a bit, so that's good. I'm glad that's good stuff.
Yeah. All right, we're gonna cut out, everybody. Thank you, everyone. Thanks for listening.